most folks really think of Washington as a general or president, not as a businessman, an entrepreneur. And when they come to learn about what he did on his own property and the fact that right after the presidency he launched this huge whiskey business, it fascinates them.
Rye should be America's distinctive spirit, not bourbon. The fact is, when the tea went overboard in Boston Harbor, that's not the only thing they threw overboard.
So most Americans, as we grew into a nation, were used to drinking rum, but after the Revolution, you know, there's an anti-British taste in our mouths, and part of that's the taste of rum.
When they quit using rum, that didn't mean they quit drinking. It just meant that they switched over to indigenous things, and the main thing that they switched over to was rye whiskey, because that's what was prevalent.
Americans turned away from those British products, and this whiskey grain alcohol became really our drink. So the fact that George Washington decided to get into the whiskey business was not viewed as strange or unusual in any way. It was part of the American economy, and a very vibrant part of it. There are different perspectives on why we do this project here of making whiskey at Mount Vernon. Number one, for those of us who make it, it's an incredible opportunity as historians to be involved in doing this the real way, the old way, and we gain a lot from that, and it helps us become better historic interpreters. Secondly, it brings a lot of attention to Mount Vernon. People are interested in Washington and the whiskey story.
I'm here helping the folks at Mount Vernon operate George Washington's distillery in a manner that was appropriate for the 18th century time that it actually operated. The historical nature of it is something that really strikes a chord with me. I have an incredible sense of history, and whether I'm making it or just participating in it is a fun deal for me. In the late 18th century, the distillation equipment was essentially a piece of farm equipment. And basically every farm had a set.
The research we did indicates that there were 3,500 distilleries in Virginia alone in the late 1790s, early 1800s.
And George Washington's was no different. He had five farms, I think it was, on the site, and one really nice-sized distillery. Making whiskey at Mount Vernon is always a bit of a challenge because we choose to continue to use 18th century means and methods.
And it's handwork. It's lifting, carrying grain, stirring with large rakes.
Mostly it's just back-breaking manual labor. When we start out, we have to get about 30 gallons of boiling water into the mash tub. And that's accomplished by a Congo line of people that take turns dipping a wood bucket in a boiler and carting the water over and dumping it in a mash tub. And stirring the grains in is an incredibly manual procedure. We have a long-handled pole, probably 6 feet long, with some wood slats at one end to help stir. And it's very much like a rowing action. If you could imagine rowing a rowboat through oatmeal. Then we've got, again, bucket brigades to get it out of the fermenters and over to the still, bucket brigades to get it out of the still and send it over to the farm. There's just a lot of carton stuff around here that's just not done anymore in modern distilleries because of the advent of pipes and pumps.
I think we got a new perspective on the lives of the people that worked here in the 1790s. We run the numbers a lot and look at what we did in about 2 weeks' time, and we made about 134 gallons of whiskey. In 1799, they made 11,000 gallons, which means they had to make about 30 to 50 gallons a day.
I used to think that it was going to be random. It was going to be hit and miss. It wasn't going to be particularly good. That's why people started putting whiskey in charred barrels or running it through charcoal or making juleps is because they're trying to knock the rough edge off of the spirit that needed its edge knocked off. But after the first round of making George Washington's rye, I came to a completely different conclusion because, by golly, I'd drink that stuff right off the still all day long.
It's good. It's good. And then being unaged, though, it's a little stronger than we're used to. It doesn't have the flavor of the barrel to it.
To be called rye whiskey, it has to touch a brand new charred barrel, even if it's new make spirit. If you want to call it whiskey, it's got to hit that new barrel.
Certainly we did it as much as we could to the methods of the 18th century, but you do have to make some adjustments in order to make everything work.
To comply with the law, we buy a brand new barrel, and we dump the alcohol in the barrel, mix it up, and dump it right back out again. There was no requirement in George Washington's time to actually throw it in the barrel, and I would assume that on occasion they sold it directly in jugs to people.
So there's certain compromises you have to make, but all that being said, it's very accurate, I think, to what Washington had, and I'm sure that if he walked in here, he might point out a few things that are a little off, but I think probably we got it pretty close, and he would probably be pleased that it's here, along with the mill, that people are learning about his businesses.